Hello, my name's Christiana and welcome to the Oceanside Community Church podcast. We're a church in Park Salon, Vancouver Island, with a vision to be fully devoted children of God, fully mature in Jesus Christ, and fully alive with the Holy Spirit. We welcome you to join us weekly on this journey. For more information about our church, visit our website at oceansidecommunitychurch.ca or download our mobile app. We pray that you'll be blessed and equipped by today's teaching.
If you haven't met me before, and it is my privilege to share the word with you this morning. It's a privilege to be part of this series, and thanks to those who went before me. It's cool to be able to hear from Joseph and Thomas and Paul, and then I get to share too. So as with our previous words, hope and peace and joy, Christmas, we know, is also known as a time of love. And that is biblical, of course, because love came down at Christmas. But even the non-religious world emphasizes love at Christmas time. And I'm not just talking about Justin Bieber singing Christmas Love. Loving others is actually not always as easy as it sounds. Or maybe it is for you. It's not always as easy for me. It can be hard to love those closest to us, whether family or friends. And it can feel like there's definitely not enough love to go around for the people that we don't really know. Maybe the stranger in the grocery store or the new person at work. So today I'm going to address two hindrances to love. And these are just the ones that came to mind in my preparation that I felt the Lord led me to. There are lots of other hindrances to love, including materialism or unforgiveness. But I sense that these two are prevalent among us at this time. So let's tackle them head on with the love of the Holy Spirit. And the first one is insecurity. Feelings that we are not good enough make us withdraw from other people. We don't share ourselves. We certainly don't look outside our own stuff long enough to really see and care for the other person. We wall ourselves off. We back up. And the more that we emotionally withdraw from people, the more negative our narratives actually become about other people. We become more and more afraid of what they think of us, and therefore we step further away. When we're worried that we won't say the right words, we don't speak. When we're anxious about how other people will see our actions, we take fewer risks. And we don't go out of our comfort zone to actively love other people when we are lost in insecurity. Insecurity is a hindrance to love. The other hindrance I want to bring to your attention today is jealousy. Jealousy is a hindrance to love. Jealousy and its cousin envy can keep us from truly loving others, whether people that we know well or people that we're acquainted with. When we see someone succeeding in some way or receiving a gift from God, we always have the choice to celebrate with them or to be jealous. Like insecurity, jealousy is self-focused. New information about other people, this is sometimes how it works for me, I don't know if it is for you, it goes straight into what I call my comparison meter. The fact that someone is spending Christmas with their grandkids, or someone got a new car, or someone's baby is sleeping through the night, someone got a promotion, someone received an honor, someone's training for a marathon. Many of us live like this information that we receive about someone has to be weighed and processed against our own circumstances before we can decide whether we can be excited for someone else. Does anybody agree with me? Anybody felt that before? It's a very common temptation, and jealousy is nasty. The book of Proverbs says that a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. It brings death to relationships, and I've seen it before. Jealousy hinders love. But don't worry, I'm not going to leave you on that cheery Christmas note, because the truth is, when we have trouble loving, it's only because we're having trouble experiencing God's love. When we're having trouble loving, it is only because we are having trouble experiencing God's love. So our big question is, how can we be filled with love? And the answer here is simple. Experiencing God's love for us fills us up with love for others. But the follow-up question is a little harder. How? Along with these two hindrances, I'm going to suggest two helps for loving others, and both of them relate to recognizing God's love. And there are absolutely many other ways, but I'm hoping that these two are what you need to hear right now. So the first help for loving others is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5 says, "Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." We chose the theme for this series because of how much Scripture talks about being filled with all of these good things, with hope and peace and joy and love. Over 20 times in Scripture, it has phrases like that. But if we're looking at the actual words, Scripture talks even more about being filled with the Holy Spirit because He is the source of all of these good things. And we are filled more and more with the Spirit as we pray, as we listen to God, as we read His Word, and as we spend time with Him in other ways. Love fills us up, and then, as Psalm 23 says, our cup overflows. We are filled up with love, and it overflows to others. We're going to pause here for a testimony. Our friend Kathy here in our congregation is one of the most Spirit-filled people that I know. She's very hungry for God, and she seeks after Him, even in times, or especially in times, of pain and struggle. Therefore, she practically exudes Jesus' character, including His joy, and also, as it turns out, His love. I'm incredibly grateful to Kathy for the time that she invested and her bravery in preparing this story to share with us of God's love working through her. really grateful to Kathy for sharing that story first with me and then really asking the Lord and being willing to share that with all of us, because that grows our faith and our love for God. Thank you also to Christiana, who has been going to great lengths to help us collect and share your stories of God's goodness, and you'll be hearing more of them in the new year. So if you have a God story to share for testimony time, let us know. So be filled with the Spirit, and you'll be filled with love. Another help for loving others, and I'd like to spend most of our time here today, is looking at Jesus' love. So my mom once asked my grandpa, who didn't follow Jesus, if there was a God, what would you want from God? And my grandpa said, I'd want him to show up so I could see what he is like. What a wise response. Humans throughout history have tried to create their own gods to worship, and it's actually really good to look at and learn about these deities that have been created, because it tells us about human morality. Look at pagan gods or Egyptian gods. Think about the Greek pantheon or the Roman gods, indigenous spirit gods, fertility gods, Hindu deities, the Muslim Allah. They are variously fickle or flippant, aloof from humans, sometimes harsh and oppressive, sometimes foolish and sexually immoral, impossible to please, and even terrifying. But our God, the one true God, the one who is uncreated but created us and everything else, he actually did exactly what my grandfather asked. He came to earth to show us what he's like. Love came down at Christmas. And of course, we don't know him or understand him perfectly, but reading scripture tells us so much of what he's like. And as Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father are one, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So let's look at Jesus to see what he's like. And as it turns out, there is no one who matches Jesus in terms of moral examples throughout history. No one comes even close. And his love for us is unending. He showed us what love was like. And it's very meaningful to me that he actually interacted with so many people. When you look through scripture, like someone should do a count of all the people he interacted with. And he interacted with them differently, but always out of love. Sometimes he healed. Sometimes he comforted. Sometimes he warned. And always he saw that person. And he loved that person. He took special time for the last and the least, the lost, the left out, and the looked over. So let's look at these two examples of how he shows love to others that will help us see how he loves us. So when we talk about insecurity, what came to mind for me is the way that Jesus loved Zacchaeus. We know Zacchaeus was a tax collector in Luke, and tax collectors were despised by the people. In fact, he was the chief tax collector. So let's step into Zacchaeus' sandals for a minute. He's really conflicted inside. In some ways, he's a guy who does his job, but it's a pretty dirty job, and it doesn't make him any friends, which is okay. Who needs friends anyway? But Jesus is in town, and he'd like to at least catch a glimpse of this man that everyone's been talking about. He tries to move into the crowd, but he's frustrated because he's short and he can't see over everyone. Everyone is blocking him. It's not like they're going to do him any favors. He doesn't do them any favors either. Well, what if he runs ahead of the crowd and climbs into that sycamore tree? Maybe he could at least see Jesus. And Zacchaeus is right. He does see Jesus, but something else happens that he does not expect. Jesus sees him, really sees him. Jesus' eyes look deep into his, and Zacchaeus is filled with shame. He expects that Jesus will call him out right there, will judge him and expose his wrongdoing. But what? Jesus invites himself and his friends over to Zacchaeus' house. Is he sure? Does he know the ridicule and the hatred he'll be subjected to for visiting a house that everyone else avoids? Zacchaeus climbs out of that tree and he walks to Jesus. And scripture says he can hear the angry mutters of people around him. But he welcomes Jesus enthusiastically because Jesus has welcomed him. And he sets off to prepare a beautiful meal with a joyful heart. We're going to have a party at my house today. Friends, love is relational security. Jesus gives that to Zacchaeus, and he can hold his head high. He is loved. He has received dignity. And out of that security, without Jesus even telling him to, he can say, you know what? I'm going to give half of my possession to the poor, and I'm going to recompense those whom I have cheated. He has moved from insecurity to love, and then that love has overflowed to others. I had a moment this week where insecurity was pulling me down. This is just one moment, okay? There were others. I was running late to something again, and when I looked around for someone to blame, I only found myself. And then the spiral began. I was late to that yesterday and that other thing, and I wonder what my daughter's teacher was thinking about me. Well, I don't care what she thinks anyway because, well, she also, yeah, and does she think that I was just spiraling, okay? I was just going deeper and deeper into insecurity, and it was taking me further and further away from love for others. But I just heard Jesus say very simply to me, I love you. That's it. Nevertheless, I love you. And the light broke in. It's not that perpetual lateness is not a problem to solve, but it was one that Jesus and I can take on together, and I can tackle it out of relational security instead of letting it infect my relationship with others. Even when we're insecure about something that's a real, honest-to-goodness sin, we can still actually walk out of that insecurity into Jesus' love. You remember the prodigal son in Luke 15. At the end of his rope, he's filled with shame. He's like, I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to apologize. But his father was way ahead of him. While he was still a long way off, his father ran to him and wrapped his arms around him and kissed him and then threw a party for him. Jesus loves parties, and he loves us, so we don't have to be insecure. Let's talk now about jealousy. And here I want to look at Peter. Looking at Jesus helps us overcome our jealousy because we see his love. In the Gospels, Peter, who is the most well-known of the disciples and later becomes their leader, he struggles with jealousy. He's often posturing and comparing himself with others. Even at the Last Supper, he's arguing with other disciples about who is the greatest. He promises that he is willing to go with Jesus to prison and even death, and says, when Jesus warns him, he says, even if everyone else deserts you, I won't desert you. And then, as we know, he denies Jesus three times. So when Jesus is resurrected and appears to the disciples when they're fishing, there's this emotional conversation in the end of John between Jesus and Peter, and it reaffirms Jesus' love and Peter's love and invites Peter to work with Jesus. Simon, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And ask him that three times. So few words and so much communicated. Jesus is saying that Peter is precious to him and giving Peter the privilege of working alongside him by feeding his sheep, by taking care of others. And at the end of this conversation, Peter looks over at John, Jesus' beloved disciple, the one to whom Jesus gave his mother at the foot of the cross. And Peter is still motivated by jealousy and comparing, and he says, well, what about him? And Jesus' rebuke is sharp, loving and sharp, and he says, what is it to you? In other words, it's none of your business. The next words in Greek are simple. You follow me. You follow me. What is it to you? You follow me. Look at me. I love you. Stop measuring yourself against that person or what you have. I have given you everything you need. So brothers and sisters, in that moment, when you hear that new information about someone and your emotions are spinning around wildly, one of them might be jealousy. When thoughts about someone are flying through your head, some of them might be uncharitable. And that is actually normal. But I find it helpful to think of that rush of feelings that you experience as like the spinner in one of the games that you play with kids, you know, where you spin it around and it goes around a few times and you see where it lands. So when you hear that information, you spin it, and it flies through all these options, all these feelings, jealousy, excitement, maybe fear, maybe joy, maybe comparison, maybe concern, maybe even meanness. But you are responsible then to ask the Holy Spirit to land that spinner on love. It might spin around a lot. You might have a rush of feelings, but the Lord will land it on love if you let him. And that is actually the only option that is good for you. And he will help you as you look at his love for you, and you'll remember the joy of your salvation. You'll remember that you actually have everything you need, and you will be content. You'll remember that you've been forgiven much, and therefore you will love much. As the band comes up, I would like to close with some words from Mother Teresa, because when you're talking about love, you really can't go wrong quoting Mother Teresa. She says, "If we really want God to fill us, we must empty ourselves through humility of all the selfishness within us. And Jesus, the humble Savior, can do that by his Spirit." And she says, "It is Christmas every time you let God love others through you. Yes, it is Christmas every time you smile at your brother and offer him your hand." That's the person who's difficult to talk to, the person who doesn't want to be alone for Christmas, the child who's demanding, the person you still need to forgive, that neighbor that no one has ever visited, and yes, even your spouse and even your parents. We forgive them too out of the love that Christ has given to us. So we're going to sing this song in closing, and this is a song of love for Jesus, because all of this love goes together. It's not neatly compartmentalized. As we experience God's love, as we sing our love back to him, he grows that love for others deep in our hearts. So let's sing together, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, or download our mobile app for more content. If you're in the area, we hope to see you soon. Until next time, may the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you as you live by his Spirit.